This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
This is an OOWE production.
Welcome to the Real Talk Podcast, where the goal is to better our understanding through conversation. Communicating our feelings, our thoughts, or our opinions can be some of the easiest or it could be some of the hardest things to do. But by communicating, we begin to form new perspectives. So throughout the various topics and opinions we discuss on our podcast, we hope that we can add value, understanding, and maybe a few laughs to your day. We appreciate you guys listening and enjoy the show. What's been on your mind, your thoughts, anything, current events that's been lingering or anything that you just want to speak on?
So the thing that's been with me a lot lately is it's been death. I've been grieving. I lost my grandmother last Wednesday. I had the funeral yesterday. It was tough, man. It was very fresh. Tough. Yeah. You definitely right about fresh. I'm still stewing in that sauce, so to speak. I honestly, since I've lost my grandmother, man, I've been feeling lost, man. Been feeling lost. Things haven't been the same. Things will never be the same. And we being honest, I realize how much of a presence she was, how much of a force she was, how much of a chain link she was. I look at my family on my mother's side, and I've broken it down into quadrants. And it's like, if you look at this whole, like, if you look at the layout of my mother's family, it's one big puzzle. It's like the whole midsection is missing now. And it's like, now you start looking at how that one gigantic piece in the middle connected everything together.
Right, right, right.
And it's like, you know, you can't help but to wonder, like, where do we go from here? You know, like, if we being honest, I hate this thought. I hate this reality, but it remains reality for somebody, but some might not come around no more.
That's the reality of it, though.
Yeah. And it's the weight of the situation, you know. Right. So I guess I can start with, I don't know, man, like, since she's passed, things have been, they've been very different. When I speak of different, I mean, like, in the sense of, like, things have been happening that they're, in a sense, is like they're indescribable to, you know, to a degree.
Such as what? Like, what you mean by that?
I'm getting ready to go into it. It's like they is indescribable, undeniable. It's like connection points. It's been since her departure, man. I found myself like studying more on connection points, understanding connection points, and even drawing more questions about connection points. So I begin to talk to you, tell you about what I'm talking about. So the morning that she passed away, I got up, went to work like I typically go to work. It was a Wednesday. I arrived to work a little earlier than I normally do, and I was able to catch me a little nap. So I slept in the car until my alarm clock went off so that I can go ahead and, you know, be on in the office, be on. I slept in the car until the alarm went off so that I can go ahead and go to work. But in doing so, one of the weirdest things happened in that small amount of time. We talking about like a small window. I fell asleep and I started dreaming. But in this particular case, it wasn't one of those dreams that's so vivid that you can tell exactly what you saw in your dream when you wake up.
Right.
Instead, it was a connection point that tied me to my grandmother. Therefore, when I woke up, I knew that it had something to do with her.
Mm-hmm.
Now, keep in mind, we're talking like around 4 a.m. or so. Sky dark, like, you know, so you don't know what type of day it's going to be. The sky not giving you know, type of, you know, signs. All you see is like a dark mass. That's right. It. You know, you can't say cloudy because you ain't seeing those. So when I wake up, I happen to look at my phone. My mother, she called. When she called, that kind of like, you know, I didn't like that. I didn't like that feeling. For somebody to call you that early in the morning, that's never, in most cases, it's nothing good come from a call that early in the morning. So, mm-hmm. You know, I call back and she tells me that my grandmother started to experience a little issues with her breathing. Okay. Granted, if you in my shoes, you understand that, you know, miracles do happen. So that's not no reason to panic or anything like that. It's just, you know, a momentary thing, you know. So the day begins to progress and daybreak happens. A typical daybreak looks like, you know, the sun start coming out, you know, the clouds, you see the clouds, you see light in the sky. Not this particular morning. So what I noticed is things still appeared very gloomy. It's very cloudy. It looked like rain was on the way.
Right.
Then the next thing that I noticed that, you know, right now, I'm calling out different things that's vivid to me. And on a so-called normal morning, things like this doesn't happen. My coworkers and I, we were riding around and a song came on the radio. The song was by Al Green, "Everything's Gonna Be All Right." Now, keep in mind a connection point. This song was the song that every morning I will play for my baby girl when she was in my wife's stomach. I will play it every day. And it's just like the stomach could start doing like this. So right. It's like she kicking to the beat. So the connection point there is my daughter, my baby girl, that's my grandmother's, like, that's her world. That was her first great grand. Like that's her world. First, you know, that's like the next generation's first girl. Mm-hmm. So I hear it on the radio and I get to thinking, I'm like,
Right. It immediately bring up memories or something like that.
Yeah. Like, Looking at the clouds still, the sky, the song plays, and then not long after that, it starts to ring. Now I'm looking at the whole scene and I'm like, I just begin to speak out loud. So two coworkers in the car, and I mentioned, I'm like, I don't like this vibe that I'm getting. I don't like how I feel about today. And one of them, they speak out. She's like, well, wait a minute. Wait. She was like, what you mean? I was like, I don't have a good feeling about today. I said, today could be the day that my grandma go home. And she like, huh? You know, the other one ain't said much or nothing. So fast forward. By around 2, like a little after 2:30, whatever, I get a phone call. My grandmother's gone.
Man.
They dropped me off over to my mother's house. And this is when things like really like it gets kicked into another gear. They dropped me off to my mother's house. So I get out of the car. I begin to walk toward my mother's door. And in doing so, I hear like, now keep in mind, at this point it's around like 3-something. So, you know, the typical behavior of, you know, birds and stuff like that is like, you know, the atmosphere was still, it was still rainy. Wasn't raining bad, but it was still, you know what I'm saying, like a light drizzle, but it was gloomy, very gloomy, still cloudy. But for some odd reason, a bird was out, 2, to be specific. When I start, you know, progressing toward the door, like one bird out of the blue is just like starts chirping. Like, you know how birds chirp. It was different. It's like, it was enough to pull my attention away from my focus. My primary focus was to go and see my grandmother's body.
Right.
You know, if it was still there. So I look back to see what's going on with all of this, you know, with all of this noise that this bird is making. Look back, I see the two birds. It's a pair. Just keep in mind what I'm telling you. It's a pair. So I go inside and I see.
This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
What's left of my grandmother? I see the shell. So I give the shell a kiss. I give a kiss on the forehead and I just speak to the shell and, you know, I state, you know, I love you. And I walk out, you know, got family members gathered around, you know, the bed, around bedside or whatever. I leave out. At this point, I need to walk. I need to think. I need, you know, I got to move. So I begin to walk down. I begin to walk down the street, and the street is like, as soon as you walk out my mother's door, if you walk a little bit to the left, it's a street that goes like it's a street that just runs straight. And then it's another street that, you know, it runs east and west pretty much.
Right.
So right at the corner of this street, the two birds, they're right there. They still right there. One of them still doing whatever it's doing, just disturbing the peace. That's what it's doing.
Right.
So it's like, with every step I take moving forward, progressing down the street, like the bird seem like it's getting louder. Almost like I just can't understand why this bird won't be quiet. Like what's troubling this bird? It's a black bird, two black birds. The other bird is like, the bird don't chill, but it's like the other bird, like looking at this bird, like, why you making all this noise? Like, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But that one particular bird is like, this bird got a lot to say. So I walk around the corner, come back around, then I go the opposite direction to the right, walk around that corner, come back. As I'm walking up, at this point, it's a, I want to say it was a FedEx truck or either an Amazon truck, one of the two. So I see my aunt, my grand aunt, standing in like the driveway. I walk around the truck, and lo and behold, right above, the other bird flies off. But that one bird is now on a light pole that like oversees the house. And like the bird just like looking down on the house, but chirping, like just making a lot of ruckus. So now at this point, this bird got my attention. Now I'm studying. Because mind you, as I was walking down the street, I was watching this bird. This bird was like just a chatterbox. So now I'm looking up at this bird as it's, you know, as it's perched on this light pole looking down at, you know, looking down at the house. It's still making noise. So I'm looking up at the bird and I'm like, this bird is almost like a messenger bird. Like it's trying to tell me something. Like what's going on? So again, two black birds, one flies off, other one still ain't making a lot of noise, right? So that day pretty much it comes and it goes, you know. Life be life, man.
Did you know what it was trying to say? So
check this. I wake up the next morning, I begin to tell my wife about what I experienced the day before in the case of the birds. And I'm also writing out my feelings and my thoughts on what happened the day before. Like just trying to, you know what I'm saying, process things, bring things together and bring them full circle, you know, trying to get some type of answers that technically I don't think I'm ever find, but I'm just trying to, you know, just investigating that. I guess it's a, you know, a spiritual investigation. I don't know, but check this out. So as I'm writing, I begin to go down, you know, memory lane and just, you know, I'm reassessing everything. And as I'm writing and I'm talking about this black bird, these two black birds in particular, but the one black bird, for whatever reason, it's like we could talk about this. Like as I'm writing, talking about this bird, let's just say that I made a blank. Instead of putting bird, all of a sudden, God guided my mind and my heart to just say crow. So after I did that, first thing I did was I looked at the image of a crow. It was two crows. Then I began to look up some things pertaining to crows. So it says this, I'm gonna read something for you. It says, in spirituality, crows often symbolize change, transformation, and regeneration, signifying that a significant shift is on the horizon in your life. They are also associated with wisdom, intuition, and the ability to navigate complex situations, sometimes seen as a messenger between the physical and the spiritual realms, particularly in cultures like Hinduism, where they are believed to carry messages from ancestors.
Hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, that happened the day that she died. Yesterday, the right. day that the funeral transpired, I went inside, everybody getting dressed. I get dressed. I walk outside. I walked out the door, took the same scroll that I took before. Look in the spot in which, you know, the crows were before, didn't see the crows. Looked on the light pole, didn't see the crows. I begin to walk down the street. And as I'm walking down the street, I don't know, it's a part of me that's expecting something. My pastor always talked about having a level of expectation. Mm-hmm. You have a level of expectation that will ultimately, what it'll do is it'll activate your level of faith, and things will begin to happen. So as I'm walking down the street, carrying with me a level of expectation, I'm walking and I'm visualing. I look over to my right. I don't see anything. Keep walking. Now all of a sudden, I hear, on a day in which life is happening, you hear all of these birds chirping and everything else. It's like for a moment, it's like I'm stuck in silence. Because the thing that I'm really trying to take a hold of, I'm not hearing it. So it's like everything around me now is complete silence. And then all of a sudden, it's like it happens. It's like my antennas, you know what I'm saying? They go up and focus, you know, I guess focus leads me to a certain sound that sounds very distinctive to me. That sounds very, very similar to what I heard that prior Wednesday. This bird going crazy again. So I look to my right. This time the bird is on somebody else's house. Down the same script that I had walked that particular Wednesday, but it's on somebody's house. I see the other bird too. Just like what happened before. The other bird flies away. Leaves that bird on that house. This time I'm like, all right, cool. I'ma just let life happen this time. So I continue to walk, turn back around. By the time I come back, walking down the street, I look back toward that same house. The bird is no longer on that house now. Now it's in the tree, but it's still going off. And I can see the other bird in another tree. But it's like at this point, something kind of happens. Where normally, like preparing for my grandfather's funeral, I had a level of nerves. For some odd reason, I didn't have that many nerves this time. Somehow, some way, it was like, it was comforting. Now, I know what you have. You have questions for me. What do you think that it could have meant? What's your thoughts? Right? So, when I first saw it in real time, I had this idea. It was this quick idea that went into my mind that I began to think. I said, you know what? This bird is a couple. And when I looked at pretty much the personalities of the bird, they remind me of my grandfather and my grandmother. One of them, chill. Just like, man, like making all this noise for, you know what I'm saying? Man. Then after a while, man, you know what? I'm gonna let you have all this. I'm off. You know what I'm saying? He then flew away. And in real life, my grandfather, he passed first. So he hit that and flew away. Passed first, flew away. But the other bird stayed around for a lot longer. Real chatterbox. Like it was trying to tell me something. Almost like still had more lessons to tell me or the more lessons to teach me. And eventually, you know, once it knew that I was paying attention to it, all right, like you see me now, now you understand. Then after a while, it's like my lessons are done. Like I have nothing more to you know, to give to you today. And then it's like, it was over, you know? So initially I didn't want to speak at my grandmother's funeral. I didn't, because I felt like it was just still too fresh and new Well, I felt like it was too fresh. I felt like I hadn't healed properly from my grandfather's funeral when I did actually get up and speak at his funeral. I feel like it didn't really help me the way that I felt it should have helped me. It didn't provide me with the closure that I needed. But this particular time, the one thing that moved me and drove me to actually go up there and to do something with the fact that my daughter said she wanted to speak at the funeral. So I couldn't let my daughter just go up there understanding what, you know, the task was and what the, you know, understand.
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The Real Real.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The Real Real? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The Real Real than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The Real Real. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
And just what that atmosphere was like.
Right.
So I went up there with her. And it's like I pondered, man. I sat up there and I stewed. And I processed over what could I possibly talk about in front of this mass of family, friends, and loved ones. What could I talk about? I began to just write different things together, man. But it's like, man, all I found myself doing was writing a whole lot of fragments. It was not connecting. It was saying something, but it wasn't connecting. So in essence, I felt like I was missing the mark. Now I spoke to one of my close brothers, and crazy part about it, that brother's name is Horace, and my grandfather's name is Horace.
Man, that's crazy.
But that brother had some words of wisdom for me, and he said, you follow your heart. Whatever it is, you just stay true to you, follow your heart, and let the words proceed from your heart. Pretty much stating it, the words that proceed from your heart would be the start. And so I said, all right, cool. I knew one thing. I wanted to connect it to history. Because everything my grandmother has been doing for me since I arrived on this earth to the point to where I could really like understand, you know, when I had when I gained cognitive behavior, she had always been educating me on matters that dealt with history, you know, as seen and as told by her. Who better to, you know, educate me? Who better to tell me these things than somebody that's actually took and lived it? Mm-hmm. So for me, man, I was always one of them young guys that I was like a sponge. I was drawn toward history. I was just like, I was enamored by the thought of what predated me, how that looked, how that felt, how that smelled, you know, all of that stuff. As a person could tell me a story, it's almost like, man, I become so tied into it and so fixated into it. It's like I would feel like I'm there. I can smell this stuff. I can see it. I can taste it. You know, all of these different things. It's like you tell it to me, man. And it's like, depending on how focused I am on what it is that you're saying, I'm there with you. I got you. That's what she was for me, you know. She was my... She was my editor. She was my truth, man. She presented focus. A lot of times when I felt unsure of myself or I didn't know the direction that I was to go, I questioned a lot of things. It's like she made sure that I knew that no matter what, God was going to be with me. And if God was with me, no matter what, I was going to always be enough. That was going to be enough, you know. She tried her hardest to work with me on my patience. I used to have a attitude at a point. Son, you just gotta. She said, just breathe, son. She said, count to 100. I'm sitting there like, man, I ain't counting no 100. Just please do it for me. That she'd tell me that stuff. And it, I don't know, man, before I knew it, I was counting, you know. Man, she used to tell me about the times in which when she was a freedom fighter, like MLK came down here and they marched. And she used to tell me about, you know, protesting and how that was rough, what that life looked like. And on one particular occasion, you know, her sister went to jail. And she was talking about how, like, they would have them dogs out there and all that. She talked to me how she talked to me about how she hid up under the paddy wagon so that she wouldn't get caught. Talked about when her sister got locked up, how she'll go and, you know, she'll visit her in jail and, like, they'll be talking and just, like, she painted these pictures, man, in such a way, like a true artisan would, to the point to where I could see it. I was there. I was in the 60s. I was there. It's like I felt like I lived that. You know, she would talk about her upbringings, how she came out of an area in Savannah that at the point it was called the Fort, you know. She talked about these things, man. I felt it. I still feel it. She talked about how her little sister was killed. She was hit by a car. The car belonged to a judge here in Savannah. And she said it got off. But again, we talking about a time period in which, you know, they don't see us as worth much. They didn't see us as having no true value or worth, you know. So much trauma, man. It's like, I saw it in her. I heard it in her. I felt it in her. Man, so I got up in front of the church and I began to talk, man. And a lot of my message was like, I just explained to you, man. It was about history, what she taught me, what she stood for. But it was a part of that I didn't get a chance to really discuss that I did leave yesterday having a bit of a regret about. And that being you know, one thing about history, our elders, man, that's the best that's the best teacher of history, your elders. Because again, they've lived that, they've done that. They can truly tell you how the story really went, you know.
Your grandmother was like, she taught you, she was your editor. But in what way though? Like, well, how did she contribute? You know what I mean? What aspects of her contributed to that?
Again, man.
Was it her, like, that her being from that time period, her wisdom, her age, like her being unfiltered? Was that it? Or was it just
being completely raw and uncut? One thing about her, man, my grandmother had a way about her, man. She wouldn't go spare your feelings. You know what I'm saying? It's like one thing about her, man, and she the realest, man. Oftentimes, man, if you in a room with her and you in a room with five other people, 10 other people, it didn't get no realer than her. Right. Like on keeping it on the up and up, keeping it a stack with you.
She was there.
Man, look here. Like, one thing about it now, she ain't gonna let you get the big head either. You know that term, standing on business?
Yeah. She stood on it.
She stood on it and she knocked you off your pivot.
Yeah.
And like, man, there was a couple of times where, like, for me, like, one thing about me, man, I just be chilling, man. I believe in just being comfortable, like, just keeping it all the way honest with you. It's like, I'm not one of the ones that I don't have to, man, I got clothes. I do, I have clothes. But I don't be in no rush to put on my clothes, if you understand what I'm saying. Like all that dressing up and stuff, man.
Right.
I'd rather be comfortable. That's just me. You know what I'm saying? Some flip-flops. I'm taking flip-flops over, you know what I'm saying, like dress shoes any day, or even over tennis shoes a lot of times. It's just, you know, not saying I don't have tennis shoes, but that's just me. But grandma, man, let me tell you something.
Dress to impress.
Man, what? Man, look here.
Sunday best.
Ain't even that, man. It's like, well, I watched my grandmother evolve, bro. Like, I can honestly say, I went from watching the era when grandma still had Jerry curls. You know, she was in the era once where, like, you know, when she had that thing kind of straightened down. She was in the era once where she had the, man, the finger waves, man. Like, that
finger
was.
Finger waves, real classic.
That was, man. That, man, I despised them.
Why you say that?
I
go to the salon with her?
No, I didn't have to go to the salon with her, but it's just like, man, just like, you know, like just seeing the thing pressed down on, it's like, man, you just like, all you see is shape of the head. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just, you know.
She had a teardrop,
man. I'm getting off that. She ain't coming to visit me tonight. Nah, man, but I used to always let her know, man. I used to let her know, like, my level of, I didn't like that. I didn't like the finger waves. Then she started growing it longer. I like that look on her, you know. But every time I tell her that I like that look on her, oh, I'm getting ready to cut it, you know. So, like, you know, I'm like, all right, cool. But then it's like, you know, with the styles changing and stuff, man, I remember when she started, man, you know, when society went into the whole legging movement. Then I started watching, grandma got on leggings.
No,
I said, oh, my goodness. Not grandma wearing them.
Bitching, man.
Yeah, it's like, man, but, you know, again, though, like, my grandmother was very, she was very classy and cheap. Grandma didn't do cheap.
Yeah.
Nah. All her stuff had good value.
Good quality.
And it's very much, you know, very much quality was on point, you know.
They knew all the good shit. I feel like, you know, they knew the good shops.
Yeah, like, you know, like, even with like the babies and stuff shop. like that. Like,
you get something, like, it's going to last.
Man, here in Savannah, like, it was a place like Punch and Judy. Man, like, bro.
Sound like she got some good stuff.
Man, look here, man.
You go in there, come out with $50. You go in there with $50, boy, you coming out with something good.
Man, look here, $50, man. Look here, bro. Like,
hey, man, Punch and Judy, son.
Punch and Judy.
That sound legit.
Like, for real,
that
man.
Sound legit.
Like,
I ain't going to lie.
Yeah.
But that's the thing though, that generation, bro, they show you like shops like that. Like you'll walk past it every day and wouldn't be like, bro, I ain't like
I'm not going in there.
Why? But you go in there and she show you some stuff like, oh shoot, I should have been doing this.
Yeah, man, grandma had you, man, baby Carlton. You know what I mean? But yeah, it's like up, yeah.
Give up, bro.
But grandma always like it was, but see, it was always a method to her madness. You know, yeah, we talking about being, you know what I'm saying, being like dressing to impress, but looks was just only half of it. For her, it was big, like education was, you know what I'm saying, that was very important. She always wanted, you know, she always wanted us to have something to validate us as, you know, being just more than just black, mm-hmm. so to speak. You know, she always, she would always talk about getting you a piece of paper. Son, I want you to get you a piece of paper, meaning like a, you know, a degree, a certificate, something to, you know what I'm saying, show that you've arrived and you've overachieved. You've, you know, you've risen to a point in which you've deserved this. You deserve this and you have something, you know, in which nobody can take from you. You 100%. Know, that, you know. Nah, I appreciate it, man. When and then one thing about a boy, that sister today was a gambler.
Nah, you funny, man.
She was a gambler, man. But one thing I know about my grandmother, man, my grandmother, she hit more than she lost. One thing about when she didn't lost some major money, trust me, the whole house knew. The whole house, boy, she come home and she raised in hell. Like for real. And like, but if she this high, and my grandma was very, she was very very subtle from this point of view. If she came in, right, or if I saw and she, you know, I want you to come by. I want you to come by and do something. Yeah, so let's just say I pop up and, you know, I went to go and do whatever she needed me to do. After I get done, she might want me to run her somewhere. So I go and run her somewhere and then she'll come back and she say, now go ahead and get what you want.
Right.
Grandma, but then you just go, I just said, go and get what you want.
Look, hey, showing love.
So now all of a sudden, but now that's when it gets tricky because now I've never been the one to be greedy, right? But now it's a part of you like, okay, you really want to test it. Okay, you don't tell me to get what I want to get now. Do you really mean get what you need to get? You know what I'm saying? But she, you know what I'm saying? She, I said, go get what you want now.
Yeah.
And then like, now she get an attitude with you because you ain't going fast enough. You like, so it's like, man,
that's a blessing though, man. Cause I feel like growing up with being able to experience your grandma is a blessing, man.
It definitely is, man.
Especially with this like new generation, I feel like. Like, I don't know, something you had a great experience with yours, I would say. You know what I'm saying?
You know,
and that's a blessing.
I definitely did, man. Now, again, my grandmother was imperfect. I didn't need her to be perfect, you know. But my grandmother, for me, she was everything that I needed her to be. My grandmother, from, like, those things that I just talked about to I got older and I became a man, I could confide in my grandmother. I could tell her certain things in which I knew. It's like it pained me as a man to feel certain ways. Like, for example, not having money. And it's like the last thing you want to do is be a man and beg somebody else for anything. And so she could always tell. Now, I'm about to get into character a little bit, like how my grandmother would do. But she could tell. She could tell when something was troubling me, right? And so I remember, man, I walk in the house and she had seen me. What's wrong? I'd be like, nothing, grandma. I said, what's wrong? Talk to me. Tell me what's wrong. I'd be like, grandma, I'm gonna be all right. I can't help you if you don't tell me what's wrong. So now, all of a sudden, she, you know, about to be over the top, you know what I'm saying? So I got to say something. So, grandma, I'm going to be honest with you. Like, right now, I don't have it. But money is needed, but I don't have it. I don't know how I'm going to make this happen because, again, I don't have it. But I'm stressed out. I got to, you know, and she, well, how much you need? Grandma, I didn't ask you to ask you how much you need. And so I tell her and she get that to me. And then it's like she used to tell me, like she told me, you know, it's not good for a man. It's not good for a man not to have money when he feel like he need to be able to pay things that's important. She said a man should always feel like a man. Man, when she told me that, man, and just coming up in the generation that we coming up in, is like a lot of times, man, you get like, just say you don't have it and you admit I don't have it. You'll get towed down for not having it, for even admitting that you don't have it. What you mean you don't have it? You should have it. You know, it's like I've seen so many men get towed down. But when my grandmother said that, man, it made me think, man, I'm like, bruh, like, man, I got to be, man, one of the most blessed brothers in the world, man, to be able to go to my grandmother and to tell her the truth. And my grandmother just say, here. It's like, my grandmother used to always say this here, man. She used to always tell me, she said, I used to get tired of hearing this at first because she used this line so much. It's like it became dated until it was too late. She used to say, son, she used to say, I'm going. Y'all coming. I'd be like, grandma, man, stop talking like that, man. You know what I'm saying? We here together. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, stop with all that. You know what I'm saying? No, I'm serious. I'm going and you coming. And a regret I have yesterday, I didn't say this. But she told me she was going and we coming. So I say this. I didn't get a chance to say it yesterday to my family, loved ones, and friends. So I'm going to just say it right now. Live, I'm going to say, from the words of my grandmother, she was going, or the words of somebody else's grandmother, they may be going, but we're coming. But I'm going to translate that over. We are now. We now. So, again, the changes we hope to see, it's on us to make them changes happen. It's on us. It's on us to take those same lessons that we gained from my grandparents or from the elders. And now it's on us to apply those. You know, I mean, like, look at you right now, bro. You holding the future.
That's it, man.
If somebody ever want to see what the future, people always talk all the time about, man, hey, man, I wonder what the future look like. Treat the present right.
Nah, that's real. That's real. That's a word right there, man.
It's like, that's it, man. That's it. On that note, man, I ain't gonna overdo it, man.
Nah, that was real, man. I appreciate you sharing that, bro. You know what I'm saying? Again, y'all, you ain't got nothing else, my man. This is the Real Talk Podcast. Every Thursday, we post a new episode, man. Please like, share, comment, man. Just a Real Talk Podcast. Peace.
Real talk.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode or if you want to check out more of our content, please visit our social media platforms linked in the description of this episode. You can also check us out each week where we drop a new episode every single Thursday. So don't forget, like, share, comment, and thanks again for listening. We'll see you guys next week. Peace.
Now, Whether you're gifting, decorating, or treating yourself, Lowe's December Deal Drops are here to help you save more all month long. Get up to 50% off select holiday decor. Plus, get up to 45% off select tools and accessories. Shop new December Deal Drops every week this month and get so much more out of your holidays. Lowe's, we help you save. Selection varies by location while supplies last.